is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Earth Day is April 22nd, a time to reflect not just on the beauty of the natural world, but on our responsibility to protect it. Today, we'll meet two people answering that call in very different ways. Our first guest is Father Jim Boers, a former naval officer who came to the priesthood later in life. A widower and father of two sons, he was ordained to the priesthood in 2022. He now serves as priest secretary to Archbishop William E. Laurie. As the former associate pastor of St. Jane Francis de Chantal in Pasadena, he helped establish native plant gardens on parish grounds. And at his longtime Cape St. Clair home, he's been transforming his yard with native wildflowers, shrubs, and rain gardens. That work earned him a 2025 Habitat Hero Award from Cape Conservation Corps. Later, we'll hear from a composer, Alexandra Paulting, who blends the medieval chants of St. Hildegard with electronic music generated from plant biorhythms. And we'll also get to listen to some of her music at the end of the show. But first up, we have Father Jim. So, Father Jim, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you, George. It's great to be here with you.
So how did you get involved in this project? Did it start at the parish at St. Jane Francis de Chantal?
Well, my love for God's creation has been really a lifetime. I remember as a boy going up to Canada on vacation and being out on a lake and just walking through the fields of goldenrods and climbing the mountains. And I've always had this fascination about the beauty of God's creation. And I've had vegetable gardens over time. But in my own house in Cape St. Clair, my wife, Shirley, she did a lot of the gardening and she did a wonderful job. But in the last few years, I don't remember exactly how I stumbled upon it, but I started learning about and hearing about native species, flowers, plants, you know, trees and shrubs. And so I just started looking into it, learning more about it, reading about it, and I became fascinated with what I discovered, how only when you have native species, plants, flowers, that have been growing and are native to the area, only when you have that do you have, say, a suburban yard like mine, a life-giving yard, right? Because the pollinators, the bees and the butterflies, the moths, the birds, they thrive on the native species and not the ornamental species, which might look nice, but they come from overseas and they're not native. So anyway, I started learning about this, and then I started talking to parishioners. I challenged an Eagle Scout prospect to build a pollinator sanctuary on the garden and on the parish grounds. And then another parishioner, an Anne Arundel County watershed steward, Rich Hergenroeder, Andrew Bryant was the Eagle Scout. He went and got some grants for us, and so we put these gardens in. And so really it was my vision, my idea, my interest, but it was all the parishioners themselves who actually brought it about.
What kind of work went into that? It's a lot of
digging. A lot of work went into it. The first thing is to design it, and so to figure out how can we have flowers blooming in three seasons. What is going to be of interest to the parishioners, for example? I specified that we include berries so that when the berries are in season, the kids after Mass can go out with mom and dad and pick the berries and eat them. And there's also a big sign, an educational sign there that Andrew had put in. And so the idea is to have a beautiful native species garden that when you walk through it, you see bees and butterflies flocking to it and something that really supports the local wildlife.
Do you find that to be the case, or do you have natural wildlife coming in native to the region?
Yeah, primarily in this case, since these are mostly flowers, plants, shrubs. Yeah, these are all. So what you're doing is you're providing this source not only for nectar, but you also provide the source for certain for butterflies that lay their eggs in the larva, the caterpillars, they will only do that on certain native species plants. They will not do, they will not propagate non-native plants. And so that's what we're seeing. We see when you walk through these gardens, especially when you walk through a woods or anywhere that has native species, you'll see a lot of wildlife there.
And what did you do at your home?
So in Cape St. Clair, I've been digging up a lot of the ornamental shrubs and flowers and grasses that had been planted, and I'm replacing them all with native species. And I'm fascinated with learning about which are the best ones for my light conditions, the soil conditions, and I'm fascinated with how it's all going to come out. I'm even designing as we speak a brush pile to put in the backyard that will be a habitat for, who knows, perhaps rabbits and other little creatures.
Mm-hmm. I know you avoid pesticides, and you also have the practice of leaving the leaves on the ground. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't. Well, years ago when I had a vegetable garden, I specifically made it an organic garden, so no use of any pesticides. And also this last year was the first year in the backyard where I left the leaves on the ground. We have a lot of mature shade trees in Cape St. Clair, oak and tulip poplar. So I left them on the ground, and I'm going to be putting them in, keeping them in the flower beds, whereas before I would rake them all up. But there's such a degree of the food chain, for example, that's in there that is even in the leaves, you know, that the larger insects go and use. You know, it's all part of this whole biosphere, if you will, this environment that we have. And so I'm looking for how to keep it natural instead of unnatural.
As Catholics, why should we care about the environment? And sometimes people say, well, that's a political issue. The church shouldn't be involved in that. But as believers, why should we care about stewarding the environment?
Well, we should care about stewarding because God commanded Adam and Eve to till the ground, right? And to use it. In other words, God gave man and woman all the plants to eat, right? And so we're supposed to be stewards and caretakers of that. And as our church and as the different popes have said, we have to be good stewards. But you don't even have to have the church say that. If you're just a rational human being, you know that we've got to take care of the earth. And especially like for me and my interest, it's personal. It's like I have a yard, thank God, and there's nothing political about wanting to have native species instead of ornamentals and contributing to the biolife. Really what my vision is, and I'm starting to see it now, is to have an oasis in the suburban area where the birds, the bees, the butterflies will literally live there. They'll be in my yard more so than other yards that don't have these native species. Because I love the songbirds and I love seeing butterflies. I mean, my whole life I've gone out there like chasing butterflies. I've always had things to do, but just knowing that these plants and animals are benefiting from each other is what's helpful.
If someone wanted to get started in this, what advice would you have for them? What direction should they go to?
You can just Google native species in my area, and what you'll find is a small but growing groups of and organizations that are into this. The University of Maryland Wildlife or the Extension Service, the University of Maryland. I mentioned the Anne Arundel County Watershed Stewards. You just go to those websites and go to their links, and you'll see all kinds of resources. There are more and more nurseries that are starting to cater in a little bit to native species. But the advice I would have is and this is something I didn't understand until really the last couple of years. When you go into a nursery, I would say a traditional, typical nursery, and you say, oh, that plant looks beautiful, that flower looks beautiful, don't just consider that only. You know, ask for the native species. Because what happens is, as much as a Japanese maple and, you know, these other types of trees, the crepe myrtles, they look really beautiful, from an environmental perspective, they're basically lifeless trees. In other words, they may have blossoms on them, so there may be some benefit that butterflies and bees will get from it momentarily, but some of them are so structured or engineered or just raised so that there's actually very, there can be very little nectar or pollen, so they're not even going to go to them. The butterflies will not lay their eggs in those trees, so they're truly lifeless. So, for example, the monarch butterfly, which everybody loves, right, which takes, you know, thousands of miles and goes to that one forest in Mexico every year. When it's making its progression toward that goal, they will only lay their eggs in milkweed plants. They will not go anywhere else. So if you don't have milkweed plants, you know, they're just not going to be around in your yard. And that's true as well for all the butterflies in our areas. They will only lay their eggs in certain native species like pawpaw trees, which I just planted, sassafras trees, oak trees, all those. Those are the species that are life-giving.
We have about 30 seconds left. Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would just encourage people to learn a little bit about this progression and of the food chain, we might call it, and the animal kingdom, and to consider how to do it in your own backyard, literally. And for me, as I'm finding, it's a fascinating adventure and very rewarding.
Well, thanks so much, Father Jim. Our guest today has been Father Jim Boers. And we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll talk with composer Alexandra Paulting, who grew up at St. Louis Parish in Clarksville. And she's going to be giving a concert in Clarksville that blends the medieval chants of St. Hildegard with electronic music generated from plant biorhythms. So you'll want to stick around for that, and we'll actually get a chance to listen to some of her music. So stay tuned for that. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. We'll be back in a moment.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path, one that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology. Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. In anticipation of Earth Day, we're devoting this episode to themes around the environment, and in this segment, we're delighted to welcome Alexandra Paulting. Alexandra grew up at St. Louis Parish in Clarksville, Maryland, where she attended the parish school. She is also a graduate of Mount DeSales Academy in Catonsville. Alexandra is now an actress, musician, and writer based in New York City. You may have seen her on Law and Order, and she has performed original music at iconic venues, including the Lincoln Theater and Meriwether Post Pavilion. On April 19th, Alexandra returns to her home parish for a very special concert called Offering for the Earth. Her work blends the sacred medieval songs of St. Hildegard with modern electronic music generated from the biorhythms of plants, a truly ambitious and one-of-a-kind undertaking. So Alexandra, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you for having me, George.
So when we talk about the biorhythms of plants, could you kind of give us a basic understanding of what that is and how that can be kind of fused together to be made music? How does that all work?
Yeah, sure thing. So from my understanding, plants have circadian rhythms just like we do. So they respond to seasonal and yearly cycles, just like animals and humans. So those cycles are what tell buds to open in the spring or tell sunflowers to tilt towards the sun. And so when they are responding to stimuli, there are electrical currents that move through them, similar to how electrical currents move through us. And we can see that activity through things like EKGs. And so basically, what I'm doing is I'm taking technology that translates those same rhythms, those same electrical rhythms, not into signs on a graph like you might see in an EKG, but basically sonic waves.
Okay.
And so that is the music that we're going to be using to accompany the music of Saint Hildegard.
So, how did you get this idea? How do you go about the process of composition using those biorhythms?
Well, first of all, like you said, I grew up at St. Louis. I attended St. Louis from kindergarten through eighth grade, and that's where I started singing in the liturgy, and that's where I started cantoring, which I still do today. And Colleen Daly Eberhardt, the concert series director, she's a really dear friend of mine, and we were talking about the 20th season of the concert series and how to celebrate that. And she asked if I had any ideas. And I suppose that the last show that I did, the last show that I developed, was a one-woman show that was exploring my cultural identity. I did that at the Kennedy Center, and that was something that explored my Filipino-American identity and how that relates to a time in my life where I was preparing to get married, and what does it mean to carry on that legacy into this new stage of my life? And so I suppose that after that, I was pretty bored of myself and I wanted to explore other things. And so the show that I worked on, I was exploring my cultural identity. And so when Colleen asked me if I had any ideas for this concert, I wanted to explore my spiritual and my theological identity and what that has to do with the call of an artist.
How did you discover Saint Hildegard, and what can you tell us about her beliefs about the environment?
Sure. Well, I learned about Saint Hildegard not at school. Not at Catholic school, at least. I learned about her in music history when I was studying music in college. So she's credited as writing what might be considered one of the first dramas with music or musicals or operas. She was way ahead of her time. And so she was one of the first composers who married the idea of song and long-form storytelling. So I found her interesting in college, and later when I became a full-time musician and a full-time theater artist, I just found it really fascinating that the work of so many composers rests on this medieval woman's shoulders. So I first came to learn about her from a music background, and then later on, through a theological understanding, and then after that, in activism and environmentalist standing.
It's interesting how she blends all those interests. I mean, she was considered kind of an environmentalist for her time. Is that right?
And also a Renaissance woman before that was really a thing. So, because she, in her life, she was able to marry both, theology and spirituality with science, and science with music, and the pursuit of knowledge with the pursuit of wonder. That was inspiring to me, and I feel like all of us have a lot to learn from her.
What can you tell us about the concert? What can people expect when they attend the concert?
Hildegard's music, she says that her music came to her, even though she wasn't a trained musician, her music came to her through heavenly visions that she experienced. So her music quite literally came from above. And the music that we're listening to, the biorhythms of plants, that is music that's coming literally from below and from the ground and the soil. And so what I'm hoping to do with this concert is to kind of bridge the two, bridge the idea of heavenly music and this earth and this rooted music. And these two influences, they don't sound like they come from here because they don't. So I'm hoping that what I can do is bridge the gap between the two.
Do you use some of Saint Hildegard's actual music, or are some of the lyrics from her writings, compositions?
Yes. So her music is the foundation of the melodies that I will be singing and performing. And so basically, we're taking these medieval chants and these medieval melodies, and rather than accompanying them with period instruments, we're accompanying them with plants.
And I understand there are some musicians from St. Louis as well, who will be part of this?
Yes, I'm very excited about this. So, Isaiah Shim, who is an incredible pianist, organist, arranger, conductor, we've worked together. We worked together on my one-person show, and we met through St. Louis. And so he's going to be accompanying some songs on the piano. And then my really dear friend that I grew up with, Laura Hill, Laura Goudreau Hill. We've been going to St. Louis together. We went to St. Louis together since kindergarten. And she's also a beautiful singer. So I'm going to be duetting a little bit with her for the first time since eighth grade. And then we also are incorporating the treble choir, which is the St. Louis Children's Choir. So we're really excited about that. And then the plants that we're going to be taking the music from are actually going to be plants that are cultivated and cared for by the St. Louis Garden Club. So trying to keep everything really steeped in the community.
So how do you collect those biorhythms? Do you apply certain instruments to them, or how does that work?
Yeah, so basically, you take two electrodes, and those are going to be they you just plug them into the leaf or the stem or the flower of a plant, and then it measures the electrical signals that are being sent back and forth within the plant. And so, like I said, those are translated not visually but sonically. And so through basically MIDI technology, then you can switch the sounds that those activities happen through to sound like they're coming from different instruments.
Well, so would this be live? This is happening right there as the plants are emitting these.
Yes,
Wow.
this is going to be a live, somewhat improvised collaboration with plants because we don't quite know. They definitely respond to stimuli, like they respond to touch. There's a certain amount of hertz that travel through the plants in response to touch, watering, pruning, sunlight, and also different times of day. So we do know that there are some things that will have responses, but also it's very different. Even if you listen to a plant on different leaves or on different branches, it will sound completely different. So to be in a room full of plants that we've never heard before will be a new experience that all of us are going to be experiencing in real time.
What's it like performing with a plant, basically? It sounds so cool. What is it like?
So something that was one of the first aha moments when I was trying to figure out whether this idea even had any traction was the idea of breath. So I'm not a trained scientist, but what is, I guess, known by a lot of people is that when a plant ba will basically filter the air around us, and when we breathe, we're breathing that filtered air, and when we breathe out, we are also feeding the plants and starting that cycle over again. And breath, especially as a singer and someone who found my spirituality and my closeness with God and with my community through singing, of course, breath is also important there. I was playing around with the plants once, and I was singing, and then I just thought, like, what if I just turn slightly and just breathe and sing on the leaf that I'm listening to? And the sound just exploded. And that was a really cool moment where I thought, oh, maybe there's something here. Maybe there's something going on here. So that's one of the ways that I've been going. I don't know if I answered your question.
That's fascinating. Alexandra Paulting, thank you so much for being here today on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Once again, Alexandra will be featured in concert at St. Louis Parish in Clarksville in the Stone Church on April 19th at 4 p.m. As we leave you today, we'll give you a sneak peek of some of the music you'll hear at the concert. For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.